Welcome to Torati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanalei Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shoftim, Perek Vav, Chapter 6. And the Perek begins, as so many before, Pasuk Aleph, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael hara b'enei Hashem, and the Jewish people did bad in the eyes of Hashem, Vayitneim Hashem b'yad Midyan shevashanim. This time, the villain is Midyan. For 7 years. It doesn't say what the ra was, it doesn't say what the bad was, because it was just a general weakness. It was also the shortest time that we see in this sefer that they were ruled, only 7 years, but also the worst, because this was the first time that they faced an enemy from outside Eretz Yisrael. The Jews had to hide in caves and tunnels, and the Midianim were joined by Amalek and also Bnei Kedem. Amalek takes every opportunity to join in against the Jewish nation. And together, Midian, Amalek, and Bnei Kedem, they destroyed the whole economy of the Jewish nation, as it says in Pasuk Daled, verse 4, Vayashchisu asivul ha'aretz ad bo'achal Aza. They destroyed all the produce of the land up until Aza. V'lo yashiru michya b'Yisrael. They did not leave any sustenance in Yisrael, v'seh, v'shor, v'chamor, or any sheep or cattle or donkeys, no working animals. They covered a huge amount of Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews were very poor. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vayidal Yisrael ma'ayd mifnei Midyan. They became very, very poor. Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. And they called out to Hashem. And when they cried out, Vayishlach Hashem ish navi el b'nei Yisrael, Hashem sends a navi to b'nei Yisrael. This navi is Pinchas. He has already come previously. We've met him in the Sefer. It seems, according to the Ralbag, that he only comes at very specific moments. He is not going to be a Shofet. He doesn't lead like Devorah or Gidon. He comes just at specific moments, usually to rebuke. And he gives them tochacha. Although their chait, their avera, as we'll see, is avodah zarah, idol worship, he seems to focus on the lack of hakaras hatov. And he goes through their history. Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, and he saved you, and he told you not to serve avodah zarah. And why are you? Why don't you show the gratitude that he deserves? He did so much for you. As we'll see, the lack of gratitude is the root of avodah zarah. This is what happens. If we are not grateful to Hashem, eventually we stop serving him and start looking for other people. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Ba'omra lachem, and he said to you, Ani Hashem alekechem, I am Hashem your God, le'siru es aleheha amayri asher atem yashrim ba'artzam. Don't fear the gods of the Amayri that you're living in their land, but you didn't listen to my voice. And now, after they cry out and do tshuva, a shofet is going to come now to save them. We get a tiny little bit of background. Firstly, because Amalek is involved, as we've said, he always has to come from the savior has to come from the children of Rachel. This time, it's going to be from Menasheh. His name is Gidon, and he is the son of Yoash. A malach comes to Gidon and finds him in a terrible state. He is cutting down the wheat in order to prepare it to hide from the Midianim. The pasuk says he is chovet chitim begas. He is chopping down the wheat in the gas. The gas is a place where we usually crush grapes, lahanis mifnei Midian, to hide it from Midian. They're scared to do it outside. They're scared that if the Midianim see that they have any food left, they'll take it away. His father, Yoash, as we'll see, is an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He serves Avodah Zarah. And that's all we really know about him. Perhaps he was well known, perhaps not. It's not important to us, and so we don't know. Throughout history, people have risen to lead the Jewish nation. Some make a gradual ascent, and we know their stories. Some just seem to appear. We have a Gemara which seems to indicate that he was not a choshuv person necessarily, and yet he is called Yerubal, as we'll see, a name for Gidon. The Gemara says that Yerubal in his time is like Moshe Rabbeinu in his time, meaning that whoever the leader that we have, and in this case Gidon, who comes from not a choshuv family, not an important family, is going to be our savior. And there's two reasons why this person was chosen. Number one, this is not written out in the text, but we have a medrash that says that Gideon said to his father, "Father, you are old. I'm going to take care of chopping down the wheat, because if the Midianim come, you're not going to have the strength to run away. So I want to do this for you." And Hashem says to him, "You kept the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av Va Em. I'm going to save my children through your hand." Which goes back to the same Hakaras HaTov, gratitude. The root of Kibbutz Av Va Em, of honoring our parents, is Hakaras HaTov. And if a person has it, if a person recognizes the good that his parents did for him, ultimately he's going to recognize the good that Hashem does to him, for him. And therefore, you are a worthy person to save the Jewish nation because you have this midah, you have this quality of being grateful to Hashem. The second reason is what we will learn from the interesting conversation that he will have now with the Malach. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Vayera Elav Malach Hashem. And the Malach of Hashem appears to him. Vayomer Elav. Hashem Imcha Gibor Chayel. Hashem is with you, Gibor HaChayel. Hashem is with you, you strong man. What would we not do to have a Malach appear to us and say, Hashem Imcha, Hashem is with you? But Gideon, he was so despondent and weary that he didn't even notice the Malach at first. The Malach has to appear to him, and he gives him the greatest encouragement that anyone could wish for. And Gideon's answer is surprising. Pasuk Yud Gimel, 13. Vayomer Elav Gideon. And Gideon says to him, "Be Adoni, please my master. V'yesh Hashem imanu, if Hashem is really with us, v'lama matza'asnu kol zais, then why is all this terrible, terrible things happening to us? Va'aye kol nifla'isav asher sipru lanu avosenu. And where are all the great deeds that we heard our fathers telling us? Lemar, as they said, haloi mi mitzrayim ha'alanu Hashem. Hashem, he's the one that took us out of Mitzrayim. Va'ata, and now, nitashanu, he left us. He abandoned us. Nitashanu Hashem. Hashem has abandoned us. V'yitnenu b'kaf Midian. And he gave us over to the hands of Midian. The Medrash says that it happens to be that it was Pesach. Of course, nothing ever happens to be. But it was Pesach when the Malach appears to Gideon. And he said, "Last night we were sitting by the Seder table and we were singing Hallel. And our father, my father, was reading to us and he was saying, B'tzeis Yisrael mimitzrayim. I have a question for you," Gideon says. "Were they all great then? If they were all great then do in their schus, do in their merit and save us. And if they were rishaim, and if they were horrible people, if they were bad people, if they sinned too, kashem sha'asisa lahem nisim, the same way that you did miracles for them, do miracles for us too." Hashem responded to him and said, "Chayecha, I swear, you defended my children. And therefore, you're going to go and save the Jewish nation." Gideon is saying, a nation that has Hashem with them, if you tell me Hashem is with me, a nation that has Hashem with them don't have to be grinding their grain and hiding. Why is this happening? Why have we been abandoned? And we say, you're asking a good question, but there's an obvious answer. What do you mean, where is Hashem? You know where he is. Your own father is serving Avodah Zarah. Although, interestingly, it seems like even the father who served Avodah Zarah was the same one who was sitting by the Pesach Seder also telling over these miracles and stories. And the fact that he serves Avodah Zarah is only because of the confusion of the time. But still, if your own father is serving Avodah Zarah, you just got rebuked from Pinchas. Why are you even asking this question? Hashem is not with you because you're not serving him, because you don't recognize him, because you didn't get rid of the nations who live in your land. But it seems like Hashem liked the question, because Hashem responded to him in Pasuk Yudalit 14, Vayifen Elav Hashem. Hashem turns to him. Now he gets an extra level of nevuah. Hashem is turning to him, Vayomer, and he says, Lech bekochacha zeh vahoshata es Yisrael. With this strength, with this merit, you're going to go and you're going to save the Jewish nation, Mikaf Midian, from the hands of Midian. Haloi shilachticha. Behold, I have sent you. You have the strength now to lead Klal Yisrael because of your question. What does Hashem want? More than anything, He wants a connection to the Jewish nation. Even when the child is straying, a parent wants any person who can bring them back. Restore that connection at any price. And Hashem says to him, yes, the fact that you're fighting for the Jewish nation, the fact that you have good questions and you're willing to ask them to protect my child, my children, this shows me that you're the one that will have the strength to restore this connection that is so desperately needed. Amazing. Gidon gets a personal invitation and a personal compliment. And he responds by saying, I'm not interested in me. What's with the Jewish nation? Hashem, why aren't you taking care of your children? We don't see you. Pasuk Tesvah, verse 15, Bayomer Elav, Bi Adoni. And Gidon continues and he says, please, my master, Bama Oshia Es Yisrael, how can I save the Jewish nation? Me? Hine Alfi Hadal B'Menashe. My branch of the family were the poorest branch from the whole Shevet Menashe. Ba'anochi Hatzair B'Veis Avi. And I am the youngest in my father's house. I am poor, my family is poor, my group is poor. Even our Shevet is poor. We're not from Ephraim, we're from Menashe. We're not the brother that is the more important one. I'm going to come and fight. I'm going to come and lead. Who's going to listen to me? And Hashem says, don't worry. I'm going to fight for you. It's going to be a nes. And Gidon is not sure. He's an anav. He has humility. And even after he is promised, he asks for a sign. Of course, this is reminiscent. We said, Yerubbaal Gidon in his generation is like Moshe. He asks like Moshe asked for a sign in Pasuk Yitzayin 17, Vayomer Elav, Imna Matzasi Chen Be'enecha, if I found favor in your eyes, Va'asisa Li Ois Sha'ata Medaber Imi, please make for me a sign that it's you, Hashem, who is talking to me, that I'm not being taken advantage of. Am I really the right one? Do you really want me to do it? Am I imagining this whole thing? Are you really coming from Hashem? There's another advantage of doing a sign, and that is when a promise comes with something tangible, with a sign, it cannot be revoked. And he wanted to make sure that even if the Jews start to sin or are not doing tshuva, not repenting the way that they should, nothing is going to change. And the sign is that he was going to bring a whole meal, really, and see if it would be consumed or not. We get all the details. The Malach tells him to put the meat and the matzos on a rock and spill the soup on it to make it harder to be burned up. And then the Malach takes the end of his stick and touches the food, and a flame comes out and consumes it, and the food disappears, and the Malach disappears as well. And now Gidon knows that this was truly divine. This really came from Hashem. Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22, Vayar Gidon ki Malach Hashem hu. And Gidon realized without doubt that this was a Malach Hashem. Vayomer Gidon, aha, oi, Hashem alekim, ki al kein ra'isi Malach Hashem panim al panim. This wasn't a cry of joy. I've seen a real, authentic, true Malach face to face. He realizes the implication, a deeper sense of obligation, of responsibility. He's the son of someone who serves Avodah Zarah, and yet he saw a Malach. He can never be the same again. Pasuk Chaf Gimel 23, Vayomer lo Hashem, Shalom lecha, peace to you. Al tira, don't be scared, lo temus, you're not going to die. And he goes on, Gidon, in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Vayiven sham Gidon mizbeach laHashem. He builds a mizbeach to Hashem as a commemoration of this great miracle that has happened. Hashem would like him to display Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice, to show himself that he can do this, that he has the strength, and therefore Hashem gives him a command. He says, your father has two cows. One of these cows he's been saving for 7 years for idol worship. It's interesting. Given that he's been saving the cow for 7 years, we can infer that he wasn't in a rush to serve the idols. Maybe it was there just to pacify the Midianim or the other people around, like as if he is preparing to serve this the Avodah Zarah, the idols. But meanwhile, he has this cow. And Hashem says, your father has built a mizbeach for the Baal, for the Avodah Zarah, and there's a tree there also meant to serve Avodah Zarah and Asherah. And in Pasuk Chafei, verse 25, Vaharasta as mizbeach ha-Baal, destroy the mizbeach, the altar that was built for the Baal, for the Avodah Zarah Sherla Avicha that your father has, Ve'es ha-Asherah Asherah lov techreis, and cut down the tree. And then Hashem gives him a command. This is an unprecedented command, and we'll see there are lots of problems with the command. But Hashem says in Pasuk Chafav, I want you to build me a new mizbeach, a new altar, and take this cow that was meant for Avodah Zarah, and I want you to cut down the tree and sacrifice the cow on the mizbeach that you are going to build. We have a whole list of problems with this command. There's a mizbeach, there's an altar in Shiloh. And at the time where there's a central altar in Shiloh, you're not allowed to just build an altar in your backyard. Any karban, any sacrifice that you bring has to be brought in Shiloh. Number two, only a kohen can bring a karban, a sacrifice, and Gidon is from Shevet Menashe. Number three, you can only bring a karban during the day, not at night. Number four, he was told to cut down the Asherah, which is a tree that was established for idol worship, and use it as the fuel to bring up this karban. You're not allowed to do that. Number five, there are special vessels that are used to bring a karban, a sacrifice, which he did not have. Number six, instead he used kelim, vessels that had been used for Avodah Zarah, for idol worship, certainly can't use that. Number seven, you can't use an animal that has been set aside for Avodah Zarah to serve to sacrifice instead to Hashem. You can't use an animal that's been set aside. You can't use an animal that's been served as Avodah Zarah. And yet Gidon is told to do all these things, these wrong things, but he knows that he saw a malach, and he knows this is a nevuah, and so he is going to do this. Why is Hashem making him do this? Why does Hashem tell him to do this? It's to make an impression. The Jews are not doing well. Many of them, including Gidon's own father, are serving Avodah Zarah. The level isn't great. The time is not right. The vessels are not properly prepared. And yet, when there is no choice, the path is not closed. Although you are surrounded by negative things, you're surrounded by everything that's wrong, you can still turn things around and you can still serve Hashem. So Gidon takes 10 people, me'avadav, from his servants, v'yask hasher diber elav Hashem, and he does exactly what Hashem tells him to do. And they're scared to do it during the day, so they do it at night. He calls 10 men to do it first because he wanted to publicize it, and secondly, he would need help to do it all at once. He was scared that he couldn't do this piece by piece. He had to do it all right away, as we'll see, because in Pasuk Kofres, when the people of his city wake up in verse 28, Ve'yashkimu anshei er baboker, and they see that the Mizbeach has been destroyed and that the tree has been cut down, and that the cow, which had been set aside for 7 years, has been sacrificed on the Mizbeach, they wake up to massive confusion. Their Avodah Zarah has been destroyed. But by whom? And in Pasuk Lamed, number 30, the people of the city turn to Yoash and they say, Hotzei es bencha ve'yamos, take out your son and we will kill him, because he destroyed the Mizbeach, the altar of the Baal, and he cut down the Asherah. We are so scared. We don't know what to do now. And are the gods going to be angry at us? Is Midian going to be angry at us? And Yoash says to them, Vayomer Yoash l'chol asher amdu alav, ha'atem tarivun l'ba'al? You're going to fight for the Baal, for the Avodah Zarah? Im atem toshion oso? You're the ones that are going to save the Baal? Meaning, Gidon destroyed the Baal, but if he's really God, let him fight back. Im Elohim hu, if he's truly a God, Yerev lo, let him fight. Ki natatzes mizbecho. If he's a God, he should be the one to fight back. You're going to fight back? You're going to go and save him? What for? It seems, again, like, yes, Yoash did serve idols. He had this mizbeach, he had this cow, but he didn't really believe, and perhaps none of the Jews really believed. They weren't stuck to the Avodah Zarah. They calmed down very quickly. But the difficulties of the time led them to sin or to rely on these idols. And at this time, they give him a new name, Yerubbaal, he who fought against the Baal. And now we're not finished the parak yet because the war is going to start. Unclear why an active war is going to happen now. But they do gather together and they're camping again in the center of the land. And he calls up people to help him. Gidon calls people to help him in three stages. First, he calls just from his own family. Will they come? And they do. And when he comes, then he calls his whole Shevet, Menashe, everybody should come. And then he calls three Shvatim from up north, Asher, Zvulun, Naphtali, come up and meet them. It's interesting, I'm pointing it out quickly, we'll talk about it in more detail. Two tribes who are more nearby, who are closer to the center of the fight, but he doesn't call them, Yisachar and Ephraim. Yisachar we'll discuss at the end of the next parak. And Ephraim is a little bit more complicated. Menashe and Ephraim, of course, were brothers. And this foreshadows what we'll see is an ongoing difficulty between these two Shvatim, and that Ephraim is perceived to be the stronger Shevet, and Gidon, from the weakest family of the weaker Shevet, is uncomfortable to call them up. We will later discuss this. And the tribes gather together and get ready for the fight. But Gidon is still scared. He's coming from a place where they serve idols, and maybe he's not good enough. And so he turns to Hashem and he says, "Vayomer Gidon al ha'elokim, im yeshcha modia biyadi es Yisrael kasher dibarta." Can I ask you again, if you're really going to save the Jews like you said? And in verse Lamed Zayin 37, "Hinei anochi matzig es gizas hatzemer bagorin." I'm going to take a piece of fleece, and I'm going to put it near the threshing floor. Im tal yiel agiza levada, if you put tal, if you put dew just on this fleece, ba'al kol ha'aretz chorev, and all the earth around is going to be dry, v'yadati kisashia biyadi, then I'll know for a fact, kisashia biyadi es Yisrael kasher dibarta, that you're going to save in my hand the Jewish nation. He says, I'm the fleece, and all around me is the Jewish nation. Maybe they're not worthy. If they're not worthy, and I get the dew on my fleece, then I'll know that you have chosen me to be the leader, even if they're not worthy. And the sign happens. Hashem puts a lot of water on the fleece. It becomes very, very wet. But yet the ground is not totally dry, because the dew is symbolic of the schus of the nation. Hashem sends in Rashi quotes that I'll always send tal. There will always be dew. Rain? Not always. Rain you have to be worthy of. Dew, there will always be. Habris krusa latal she'enon etzar. There's a covenant made with tal, with dew, that it will never, there will always be dew. There will always be dew. There will always be the Jewish nation. So yes, you, the fleece, you, Gidon, the fleece, you're going to have a lot more moisture. But there still was moisture on the ground around. The test that he was asking for is, even if the Jews are not worthy and they're dry, am I still worthy to save the Jewish nation? But he had asked for a test that could not be fulfilled, so now he is not sure. So he turns back and he says, I have one more question. Even if I'm not the leader, will you still save the nation? Vayomer Gidon el ha'elokim, al yichar abchabi. Please don't be angry at me, Pasuk Lamites, verse 39. Let me speak one more time. Can I ask you for just one more sign? Anasena rak hapam, begiza yiyya nacharev, al hagiza levada, al kol haaretz yiyatal. One more sign, please. Let's say I'm not worthy, but the Jews are worthy. Does it have to come through me? Let me put this fleece on the ground and let the fleece stay dry and the ground around will stay wet. And this is indeed what happens. Vayas elikim kain balayla ahu. That night, Hashem did what he asked for. Vayichorav al hagiza levada. And just on the fleece it was dry. Va'al kol ha'aretz hayatal. And on all the ground there was dew. The promise is clear. Hashem is, was, and will always be with the Jewish nation and with Gidon as the leader. Thank you for learning in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Friedman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleihem HaShalom, Nishot Chayil, who lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael, Nina and Chaim Schenker.